Well, good morning. Glad that you are here and excited to be back with you this morning. And looking forward to what the Lord has in store for us today. And grateful and thankful for a church that allows me and my family to be away. And I just enjoy some time off and be able to get refreshed and renewed and all that kind of thing. So thank God for you. And excited about what this year has for us, should the Lord tarry. And so, just a few things I want to mention to you this morning. First of all, let me say, if you're a guest with us, thank you so much for joining and being part, whether in person or online. We'd love to connect with you. There's a card in the pew back in front of you. You can fill that out, or you can go online and go to sbcr.org. And there's a button that says, I'm new, and we'd love to know how we could better serve you and your family, and thank you for that very much. In way of announcements, we don't have a whole lot this morning. There are no Sunday night activities at this time. Our Wednesday night activities have resumed in terms of adult prayer meeting that meets in here, and then also the students are meeting at the other end of the building on the fellowship hall end. And so those activities are going from 6 to 7. So love for you to come, connect with us there, be a part of that. It's just a great time to meet together during the week, whether we're in here together praying or the students are there worshiping or serving, however, depending on the week with them. So hope you'll make that a point and be with us as well. Our Sunday school has resumed, so I hope that you also join us for that and to come be a part of one of our classes and just enjoy that time of fellowship the best that we can during this season. So just be aware of that. I do want to mention to you one thing that is happening tonight at 5 o'clock. Pastor Jonathan is leading a mission team, perspective mission team meeting for those that are interested, may be interested, could be interested in going to Ukraine. It is not a commitment at all, but it is for those that think that this may be something that they could want to be a part of or maybe be a part of in the future. And so that meeting is going to be done via Zoom. And so if you haven't already notified him, I think he maybe already sent out links. So if you haven't received that, you may reach out to him and just let him know, remind him. Or if you haven't talked to him yet, just say, hey, I'd love to be a part of that. And you can sit in and listen to the information, listen to at least the tentative plan, right? And we'll pray hard that it holds true. So just a few things going on that need to be aware of, and that's all at this point. I am beginning a new sermon series that I'll tell you more about at the appropriate time. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, last thing I was supposed to mention to you. We are in the middle of a 21-day prayer fasting emphasis that's in conjunction with the Arkansas Baptist State Convention. And so I know Pastor Jonathan mentioned this to you last week and made you aware of this. Some of you that follow us on social media, you've seen this. But on our Facebook page especially, every day those videos are being loaded up. And it has specific prayer emphasis. And pretty much every day is 3 points of prayer. That we're just kind of praying for about spiritual awakening and revival. Also, you can go to the Arkansas Baptist State Convention website, absc.org, and find a link there, and there's a number that you can text. You text a keyword to a specific number, and that will get you signed up. It'll send you something back. You put your email in, and it'll get you signed up. And so every morning I wake up, and I've got an email that has the 3 prayer points laid out, along with the video attached in that email. And so just joining together, praying, asking God to be with our nation, to send revival, send awakening. Again this week, we had a reminder, however form or format it may have come, that our nation needs a fresh work, a fresh move, a fresh touch of God. We need God as much as we ever have today in our nation and across the world. And that's going to be our focus of time of prayers. We try to focus our heart and life toward the Lord this morning and ready for worship and ready to engage with His Word, but also to pray for our nation. Pray that God would mercifully, graciously send awakening, send revival to His church, to churches all across our nation, that God may sweep through our nation with another great awakening, another great revival. It's been many years. Bill Elliff, in one of the videos, I believe it was day two, talked about that our nation every 50 to 60 years has seen a fresh great awakening, a fresh revival. And he walks through that. We see it in the first great awakening, the second great awakening, the great prayer revival, 1857, 1858, the Welsh revival, then we saw the Jesus movement in the 70s. And that's the last time our nation has seen a massive nationwide, at least nationwide, move of God. And so we need to desperately cry out to God that His people would seek His face, that He may send revival. Okay, so let's pray to that end this morning. Lord, You are gracious and kind and merciful. And Lord, we come to You this morning asking You to fill us with Your Holy Spirit, asking You to work and do abundantly above all that we could ever ask, imagine, or hope for. And God in heaven, I pray, God, there's no doubt. Things that we've seen unfold in recent days are stark reminders that we need You. We need Your grace. We need Your mercy. God, on one hand, I'm afraid of what is to come for our nation if we don't see another mighty move of God. And so, Lord, we ask that You would do it, that You would do above and beyond all that we could even think of. Lord, I pray You would begin here, begin in me, begin in this church. And God, I pray that even this morning would be a step toward that. That God, You would do something supernatural that would be only explained by Your presence and by Your power. Lord, hide us behind Your cross. Fill us with Your Spirit. Help us to look unto You. Keep our eyes fixed on You this morning. We pray this in the precious, wonderful, matchless, glorious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Would you stand as we sing, How Can I Keep From Singing?
I can see when you pick me up. See. surrender of a king. Clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness strives to hide, and trembles at his voice. Trembles at his voice. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. Thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze. And when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art.
Sing that again, church.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art.
Bible, turn to the book of 1 Chronicles, 1 Chronicles chapter 29, 1 Chronicles chapter 29. I am beginning a new series this morning, and I'm excited about it because I believe it. Over the next 6 weeks, we're going to get some principles from the Word of God that will help provide some security and stability if we'll listen to them and we'll apply them and adhere to them in our lives. And many of you already do. What a world of uncertainty. What a world of there seems to be nothing firm, nothing certain, nothing sure. No doubt in 2020 all the changes, all the rapid changes, all the different things. I mean, we just look around the room now, and unfortunately, we can see the impact and the uncertainty of the times and all sorts of things happening. I mean, technology is developing faster and faster, and all kinds of things happening just in an uncertain world. But as we jump into this series and talk about these things that I believe God has for us from the Word of God, I really believe that if we'll take these principles and apply them to our life, that they will help provide a firm foundation. And so what is it that in the next 6 weeks I want to preach to you a series called 10%, A Call to Biblical Stewardship. 10%, A Call to Biblical Stewardship. So over the course of the next 6 weeks, I want to share some principles with you from the Word of God about biblical stewardship and how God has called us to honor Him with our finances through that stewardship. The Bible says this in Malachi. I know we're going to read 1 Chronicles chapter 29 in just a moment, but Malachi chapter 3, 10, 11 says this, says, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will be no room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourers for your sake, so that he will not destroy fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts." So the Bible says in Malachi, God puts a challenge out to his people to be faithful with what they've been entrusted with, to have biblical stewardship. And the God of heaven says, "Try me now in this." Now listen to me, I believe that if we will listen to and adhere to these biblical principles, that the blessing and the hand of God will be upon your life and my life and the life of our church. But hear me carefully. I'm not saying that if you do these things, you're going to get the fancy, nice new car. You're going to suddenly have all these sorts of financial gains, all this sort of thing. That's prosperity gospel. That's not what I'm preaching. But I do believe the Bible teaches that when we are faithful, we have biblical stewardship with our finances, that the hand and blessing of God is on our life. Now, does that mean we see all the financial gain and everything goes our way and there's not going to be any sickness in our life? No, absolutely not. But it does mean that the power of God will be on your life. And so, I want to challenge you. 6 weeks. Next 6 weeks, commit even now. The first call to biblical stewardship is with our time and with our effort. So I want to challenge you this morning that for the next 6 weeks, be as faithful as you can to be here. And let's walk through these biblical principles together. And so we're going to look this morning at 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Now let me be transparent with you, is that some of you are very familiar with a man named Ronnie Floyd, Dr. Ronnie Floyd, who was a pastor right at 30 years at Cross Church in Northwest Arkansas. God used him in a great way there and really blessed him. And now he serves as the executive chair of the Southern Baptist Convention. And God has used him in a credible way since he has been there. He put out a resource titled 10%, A Call to Biblical Stewardship. And he put out some of these principles, these things that we're going to walk through. And what I've done is I read and looked through that he put this resource out for pastors. I went through and tried to glean some of the things from it and then go in and really adapt it to who we are and what I believe the Scripture teaches from here. And so as we walk through just using some of the guides, some of the things that he helped put out and really fill it in with who we are and what I believe the Scripture teaches from the Bible. So 1 Chronicles chapter 29, it is verses 1 through 20 is what we're going to read this morning. And so I realize we just stood for a while and reading a longer passage this morning, but if you're willing and you're able, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God as we read a longer passage this morning. Furthermore, King David said, "In all the assembly, my son Solomon, whom alone God has chosen, is young and inexperienced, and the work is great, because the temple is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now for the house of my God, I have prepared with all my might gold for things to be made with gold, silver for things of silver, bronze for things of bronze, iron for things of iron, wood for things of wood, onyx stones, stones to be set, glistening stones of various colors, all kinds of precious stones, and marble slabs in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection on the house of my God, I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for for the holy house my own special treasure of gold and silver. 3,000 talents of gold and the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses. The gold for things of gold and silver for things of silver and for all kinds of work to be done by the hands of craftsmen who then is willing to consecrate this day to the Lord. Then the leaders of the fathers' houses, leaders of the tribes of Israel, the captains of thousands and of hundreds, with the officers over the king's work, offered willingly. They gave for the work of the house of God 5,000 talents and 10,000 derricks of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, and 100,000 talents of iron. And whoever had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the house of the Lord into the hands of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced, for they had offered willingly, because of with a loyal heart they had offered willingly to the Lord, and King David also rejoiced greatly. Therefore, David blessed the Lord before all the assembly, and David said, "Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor comes from you. And you reign over all. In your hand is power and might, and in your hand is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own you have given you. For all aliens and pilgrims before you, as were all the fathers, our days on earth are as shadow and without hope. O Lord God, all this abundance that we have prepared to build you a house for you, your holy name is from your hand and all is your own. I know also, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now with joy I have seen your people who are present here to offer willingly to you. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the intent of the thoughts of the heart of your people and fix their heart toward you. And give my son Solomon a loyal heart to keep your commandments and your testimonies and your statutes, to do all these things and to build the temple for which I have made provision." Then David said to all the assembly, "Now bless the Lord your God." So all the assembly blessed the Lord of their God, their Lord God of their fathers, and bowed their heads and prostrated themselves before the Lord and the king. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we thank you for your word. I pray now, God, that you would speak to our heart. You'd help us to be obedient to it. God, fill me with your spirit. Give me every word to say, nothing more, nothing less. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So this morning, I want to preach to you a message that I've titled, "God is the Owner of Everything." And I believe that's the idea, that's the picture here, and that's where we start with this 6 weeks of 10%, a call to biblical stewardship, is that God is the absolute owner of everything. And I hope that that's what we leave with from this text this morning. So the main idea of the text is this, is that God desires for us to give as if He owns it all. God desires for you and I to give in such a way that it dictates, it indicates that God is the owner of all, because He is the owner of all. And so my question to you this morning then is, do your finances reflect God's ownership? If somebody were to look through your registry, look through your online banking, and look through what you spend your money on and where your money goes and what those luxury items are and all those sorts of things, would somebody leave from that review of your finances going, "Man, there is no doubt they believe in God's ownership, that you and I really don't own anything, but it's all of God"? And so this morning, I believe that's what we have from the text. And David and Solomon, they're in an uncertain time. Israel is in an uncertain time when we pick up and read from our text this morning, because the Israelites had been in slavery. The Hebrews have been in slavery. God brings them out, establishes them. They have judges, and Moses has set all this up, and then all of a sudden they start crying out, they want a king. And God gives them what they want, gets Saul, and he's not a good king. He's corrupt. And then God gives them a really good king in David, and he reigns for a really long time. But now all of a sudden, David is coming to the end of his life. David wanted to build this house for God, this tabernacle. But because of the things that David had done in his life, God said, no, you can't do it. Your son's going to do it. But what David wanted to do is he wanted to leave behind everything that his son, who would be his successor on the throne, everything that he needed for the sake of building the house of God. And so the Israelites are going through a transition, a change of leadership, and things are uncertain. Things are not sure for them. And surely they're thinking, we figured we would already had a house to worship God in and all that kind of thing. And so here they are, they're facing this uncertainty, and then you have this incredible passage of Scripture beginning in chapter 29, where we start to see David's focus of transition. He knows he's coming near the end of his life. And there's a few things he wants to take care of before he is finished. And I want us to see from this that God is the owner of everything. And we see that in two ways from the passage that we've just read. And we're going to kind of work this problem backwards, if you will, a little bit. We're going to start with the second half of the passage, and then we'll come back to the first. But number one, if you're taking notes, we give because God is the owner of everything. And so if we believe this principle that God really owns it all, it's all His, then we ought to give in a way that indicates that God is the owner of everything. And I believe that's what we see in David's life. And so David has this time of prayer and time of announcement before the children of Israel. Then we see some description about what's happening and what's taking place. And then we see in verse 10 this transition take place where David is writing a psalm. David is praising God. And we're going to learn from that. And then he turns his attention back to the people, and then everybody collectively praises God. So we give because God is the owner of everything. And there's a few nuances to this that I want us to see from verses 10 through 20. So A, we give knowing the right possessor. Knowing the right possessor. Okay, look at verse 11. In verse 10, David blessed the Lord before all the assembly and said, "Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel." Then verse 11, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power and the glory, the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all." Did you see the number of times that David used "yours"? Look at this. Look at this on the screen. We have verse 11, that all that is in heaven is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord. And just on and on, we see time and again that it is yours, yours, and yours. And so understand, church, this morning that anything that you and I have that's any good, any of our finance, any of the possessions, any of the time, any of the talent that we have, it is all from God. He is the owner of everything. And listen, you won't give in a biblical way so long as you think you're the actual owner. So long as we think it's really ours. But the reality is, we're just stewards. There's a big difference between an owner and somebody who is a steward. The steward realizes it's just been entrusted for them temporarily. That there's a purpose, there's something behind that. And so, church, if we're going to give in such a way, if you and I are going to give as families and in such a way, we've got to understand that it's not ours. God's just entrusted us with it that we may use it for His kingdom and His glory. Psalm 24:1, "The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein." So he says, not only everything here, not only the things, but people. And so you've got to understand that not only the treasure that you have, your time, The Bible says that God has before appointed the bounds of our habitation. Every breath you have is a gift from God. He's given it to you. And every talent you have is a gift from God. He's given it to you. And so as we talk about biblical stewardship, our main eye, our focus is on the financial side of it, but it's more than just our treasure. It's our time and our talents as well. So understand, young person, old person, college student, senior adult, everything that we have is God. Haggai 2:8 says, this is God speaking, the silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. Every dollar you've ever received is because God has allowed it to pass through your hands. Everything you have, God is the owner of everything. And if you're going to give in a way that reflects God's ownership, you've got to understand that He is the possessor. He is the ultimate owner. And so then, secondly, give knowing the right praise. Give knowing the right praise. Look at verse 11. Listen to the praise that David pours out. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you. So there it is. He's saying, look, he's king, remember? So he even realizes the riches that he has gotten, the honor that he is getting is from God. And you reign over all. In your hand is power and in might. And in your hand is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, O Lord God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. Listen, dear friend, man, we've got to understand this morning that in our giving, we give praise to God. We're going to see in a moment how David gave. David gave generously, and now here he is, he's praising God. Why? Because there's a sense of freedom in David's life. David understands it's not about me. David understands that it's not mine, but it's all of God. David wants to accomplish this great work, realizes he can. He's leaving it for his son. And so there's freedom for David going, man, I want to invest in this. I want to give to the kingdom of God. Why? Because it's not mine. But also, man, whenever I give and realizing God is the owner of everything, it sets me free to worship God. Because, man, I realize God is a really big God. If He's given me anything and I entrust it to the kingdom, then God will supply all my need according to His riches in Christ Jesus. Hey, listen, dear friend. It's going to be really tough for some to hear. Sometimes we struggle to come in here and engage in worship because we don't give in such a way that God is the owner. We're to give, and it sets our heart free to worship God for who He really is. Revelation 5:13, we see a picture of praise to God. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Listen, when you and I get to heaven, if there are any crowns that you and I have, God has graciously given unto us along the path of life, of faith, and we get to heaven and we receive those, what's going to happen? We're going to give them back to the King in an act of worship. And dear friend, listen, now is a good time to begin practicing that. That as God has entrusted you, God has given things to you, then we come together, we worship the King through our singing. But let me tell you, dear friend, one of the primary ways you worship the King is by your giving. Giving is an act of worship. Realizing God owns it all. And next, we see give knowing the right perspective. We give knowing the right perspective. Look at verse 14 and 15. He says, but who am I and who are my people We should be able to offer so willingly as this, "For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. For we are aliens and pilgrims before you, as were all our fathers." And then listen, "Our days on earth are as a shadow and without hope." Sometimes we fall victim to thinking that life is really long and we can somehow take things with us. We can somehow take possessions with us, that they're going to somehow benefit us once we draw our last breath, or thinking that we may avoid that day. But friend, either death will come calling or Jesus will return, and we'll realize when we get to the end that life is very, very short. David says we're but a shadow, and apart from Christ we have no hope. And oftentimes we don't give in a way of biblical stewardship, knowing that God is the owner of everything, forgetting that we think this life is really, really, really long. But the reality is, life is very short. And if you and I will have a better perspective of going, stop trying to hoard everything as if this life is the only life we're living for, and realize this life is very short, but eternity is very long, we will give in such a way that honors God for eternity. And you want your resources, your time, your treasure, your talents to matter for something? Invest them looking toward the kingdom, and they'll matter for something. James says this in 4:14, "Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." Life is short, friends. I realize coming out of 2020, we probably have realized that as much as ever before. But we need to give in such a way with the right perspective, realizing life is short, eternity is long, and I want to invest in eternity. So then, D, give knowing the right posture. The right posture. Look at verse 17. "I know also, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness." If you mark or underline your Bible, uprightness right there. "As for me, in the uprightness," there is again, "of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now with joy I have seen your people who are present here to offer willingly to you." Listen to the uprightness, the posture of David's heart. What is it? He has fallen in love with God. What does the Bible say about David? A man after God's own heart. He has fallen in love with God, and he realizes God is the owner of everything. And so he's been trying to walk clean and close to the Lord Jesus. Yes, in some ways, David has a checkered past. He has sinned greatly against God. He has been confronted with that. He faced the sin, but then he repents and turns toward God, and he lives the remainder of his days in honor of the great King. And so now here he is, he's talking about this giving toward this, and he says, "God, you're the one that tests the heart. You've seen that my heart is upright, not because of his own righteousness, but because of the righteousness of his son Jesus." Listen to me, friend. I realize we're talking about biblical stewardship this morning and a call to that, and talking about how to give and all this sorts of things. But friend, you can't give your way to heaven. The only thing that you can give that'll seat you in heaven is your heart and life to Jesus. You can't write a check big enough to anywhere or anybody. You can't earn enough dollars. The only way anyone will ever enter into the presence of God is because of the blood of Jesus from a person, applied to a person who's given their heart and life to Him totally, freely, and without reservation. And for some of us, maybe that's where we need to begin this morning. And going, "God, before I can give any check or any money or time or treasure, talent, any of that stuff to you, first I want to give myself totally and freely to you for salvation." And then when you do that, Because of the goodness and righteousness of Jesus, He comes and takes all your past, present, and future sin. He lays the righteousness of His Son, Jesus, over on Him. Then you can say, God, I know You test the heart, and I'm going to give. You can see the uprightness in my heart because of what Jesus has done for me. I want you to see how clean and pure His heart is. Because look at the very last part of this. He says, and now with joy I've seen Your people who are present here to offer willingly to You. Let me paint this picture, friend. David has given in a way that honors Him. We're going to talk about influence in a moment. David has given in a way that honors God, that demonstrates God is the owner of everything. People have come alongside and done the same thing. And you know what David did? He didn't get jealous. He didn't get to a place where go, man, I may not be on the top 10 giving list now. Or people may not realize how much I've given because all the other people are giving. Or can you believe they're giving to that cause? You know, they're going to build the temple this way and it really ought to be this way. There was none of that. Rather, he sat back and he rejoiced because other people were giving to the cause. Other people were giving to the kingdom. I believe a test of the uprightness of your heart is, does your heart rejoice when you see people give for the sake of the kingdom? Or do you sit back and go, I can't believe they would give to such a thing? David gives out of the uprightness of his heart. Psalm 15, 1 and 2 says, Lord, who may abide in Your tabernacle? Who may dwell in Your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. Those are saved individuals that are living a life for Jesus. So give knowing the right posture. Then E, give knowing the right position. Kind of end where we began this in verse 20. Then David said to all the assembly, now bless the Lord your God. So all the assembly blessed the Lord God of their fathers and bowed their heads and prostrated themselves before the Lord and the king. What in the world takes place here? We're going to see this in a moment. David prays for God's blessing. David gives for the sake of the kingdom. He challenges other people follow that. They adhere to that. Then all of a sudden, here they are. They're recognizing that others are giving. And David calls them and he says, bless the Lord your God. And you know what happens? They all get down and they lay on their face and they're worshiping God. Because of giving. Because of giving. Now listen, I've been in a lot of different services, Brother Jerry. But I don't think I've ever been in a service. Matter of fact, I know I've never been in a service where after the offerings plates were passed, everybody jumped up and was shouting hallelujah and lay down prostrate before the Lord praising God. Now, of course, I realize it's more about the thoughts and intents of the heart than our physical posture. But friends, when you realize, here's the key idea here, what I believe from this verse. When you realize God owns everything, and you get a chance to invest in the kingdom and actually be blessed because of that, here's the thought, it's a gift to actually give. That's why it's more blessed to give than to receive. Because we don't own it in the first place. God entrusts it to us. We give to the kingdom, and then we get the power of God on our life for giving something that we never owned. And so here they are. They're laid out before God, realizing a great work is going to be done. The glory of God is going to be declared among the nation. And here they are saying, we got to be a part of it. Thank you, Jesus. That's the declaration here. And so friends, the call to biblical stewardship is realizing we give because God owns everything. Again, I ask you, if somebody were to look at your finances, would they walk away knowing that you believe God is the owner of everything? Number two, I know that was the long number one, right? Took a long way to get number two shorter, I promise, okay? All right. The actual sentence of number two is not shorter, but the point hopefully will be shorter. All right. Number two, give in a way that others may know God owns everything. Give in a way that others may know that God owns everything. I know it sounds strange, but here's what I need you to realize. I want you to see the influence that David has on others through his giving. Now, I want you to think about the influence that you have on others. Some of you parents, grandparents, do you give in such a way? Do you talk to your kids about it? We're going to finish kind of on this note as well. But I want you to think about the people in and around your life. Do you give in such a way? And I'm not talking about you write the check and leave it out so they can read it, how much you get, all that kind of thing. I'm just talking about, listen, you generous, the really generous people that I've known and been around, never knowing the actual dollar in which they give, you can't hide generosity. People who are generous, it's just obvious they're generous because they're generous in all areas of their life. And a call to biblical stewardship. So we have opportunity to influence people around us. And so notice what David says here. What happens with David? A, give with an influential heart. Give with an influential heart. Look at verses 1 and 2. Furthermore, King David, so remember, we're backing up the bus here. We looked at 10 through 20. Now we're going to look at 1 through 9. Furthermore, King David said to all the assembly, "My son Solomon, who alone God has chosen, is young and inexperienced. And the work is great because the temple is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now, for the house of my God, I have prepared with all my might, gold for things to be made gold, silver for silver, bronze for bronze, iron for iron, wood for things of wood, onyx stones, stones to be set, glistening stones of various colors, all kinds of precious stones, marble slabs in abundance." So what's he doing? He is praying initially, thinking about thinking about his son Solomon taking over as king. And he's talked to Solomon about that. He writes to Solomon and gives him some instruction. But even in this moment, what transition takes place? He goes from thinking about his own kingdom that Solomon will take over and begins thinking about the kingdom of God. David is concerned about both kingdoms with his son. And he's saying, listen, I not only want to pass down this kingdom, this life of ruling, this life that God has given me, but also I want to pass down my faith. I want to pass down this passion and desire and pursuit of God that I have. I want my son to have that. And listen, friend, if we're going to give in such a way that honors God as owner of everything and influences others, then you and I have to have an influential heart, have to have a perspective that it's not just about passing down a jumper to my son or passing down whatever it may be, but we want to give and honor God in such a way that he goes, man, that's what I want to live a life like Dad. Man, that's what we need. If we need anything in America today, we need men that are passionately pursuing God, that want to pass that down more than anything else, a life of faith and living it out in such a way that impacts our time, our treasure, and our talent. Matthew 6, 19, 20 and 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust decay or destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for your treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I believe David had great treasure in heaven because his treasure, his heart, was focused on eternity more than it was even his earthly kingdom. And friend, if you and I are going to have the hand and blessing of God, if we're going to give in a way that honors God as owner of everything, and college students, I'm talking to you too. Study hard, work hard. You may be able to live a life pleasing to Him. But giving in a biblical way never gets easier. Sometimes I think college students, and as college students, I fell victim to this. Young folks in the room, some of you younger elementary, maybe junior high, high school students, I used to think, man, you know, you get to this position of earning money, it gets easier to give. No, it doesn't. It's a discipline. It's a discipline. And so give with an influential heart. Be, give with an influential possession. 1 Chronicles 29:3-4. Moreover, because I've set my affection on the house of my God. I want you to notice the number of times he's using mine now. I don't think he's using it in a selfish way, as in a sense of ownership, but rather a sense of personalization. That this is personal to me. Because I've set my affection on the house of my God, I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I've prepared for the holy house. Look at this. Mark, underline this. My own special treasure of gold and silver. 3,000 talents of gold. Gold of over the 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses. Notice, I have given. And then he says, my own special treasure. You know what I believe happens here? Is that David gives out of his own bank account, if you will. He doesn't just give out of what he's gathered for the sake of the kingdom, for the sake of the nation, but rather David has had some financial gain that he gives out of that. Why? Because he says, this is my God. This is the God that I serve. This is the God that I want. And I want the nation to know. I want the world to know. And there's a sense of personalization to it. And if we're honest, we're really good at being generous with other people's stuff. We're really good at volunteering other people and you know, looking toward other people, saying, well, they can give, they can do that. But you know what we need? We need folks who are going to take it personal, say, hey, this is something I want to be a part of. This is my God. This is my church. I want to give. I want to honor God as if He owns everything, because He does own everything. Proverbs 3:9-10. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Listen, isn't it an amazing time? And again, we see this principle where God teaches us, hey, if you'll give, the hand of blessing will be upon you. You know what the world says? You don't have enough to give. You don't earn enough that you can give. College students, that's what we fall into. I mean, the check's not big enough to give. No, you can't afford not to give. You'll give in such a way, God's hand of blessing will be upon you. And then see, give with an influential relationship. Give knowing that you have influential relationships. I want you to see this from the Scripture, okay? Verse 5. The gold for things of gold, silver for things of silver, for all kinds of work to be done by the hands of craftsmen. Then David asks this, who then is willing to consecrate himself this day to the Lord? Who's ready to dedicate himself to the Lord is what David asks. Then notice verse 6. Then the leaders of the fathers' houses, leaders of the tribes of Israel, the captains of thousands and of hundreds, and with the officers over the king's work, look, Mark underline this, offered willingly. Then verse 7, they gave, Mark underline, they gave for the work of the house of God 5,000 talents and 10,000 derricks of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, and 100,000 talents of iron. And whoever had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the house of God into the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced. Notice this, the people rejoiced, for they had offered willingly, mark or underline that, because with a loyal heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And King David also rejoiced greatly. Therefore David blessed the Lord before the assembly, and David said, blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. So what happens? David uses his position of leadership to ask people, hey, are you going to consecrate? Are you going to dedicate yourself to the Lord? And what happens? They didn't feel arm twisted. They didn't feel like, man, he's manipulating us or anything like that. He just says, hey, this is the work of God. Do you want to be a part of it? Do you want to commit yourself to this? And people stepped up and they said, I want to give to that. I want to be a part of that. And they gave, people from all over gave, and then they stood back at what God had sent through other people and they rejoiced over it. They rejoiced. Now hear me carefully. I'm not saying you need to post on your social media what you give. That's not at all what I'm saying. I'm just saying that I really believe if you and I live in such a way with intentionality and with those closest relationships that we have, and we give in a way that honors God and teaches those around us that are close to us that we have strong relationships with, not in a boastful way, just saying, man, I want to give to this. I want to give to Lottie Moon because it impacts missionaries on the field. I want to give to the local church because it's the greatest organization reaching people for the kingdom of God on earth. And just on and on, why do we give? And we teach people that. Just this week, I was meeting with a friend. We were just talking about different things and just visiting. He's been going through some different things, whatever the case may be, but asked me, said, you know, me and my wife were talking about giving. And I'd already had this all planned out, and it was kind of neat how the Lord's working it together. But said, you know, we're trying to deal with how to give, what to give, all that kind of thing. And this is what they told me. Said, I was raised in church, and my dad was very adamant about giving. Every Sunday, wrote a check. He said, I know because when I was younger, my dad would always give me the check and let me put it in the offering plate. He said, I never know how much he actually gave, but I just know every week that's what he did. I got to put it in, so that was fun, that was cool. He said, but, and this is, listen in, lean in, hear me. He said, I don't know why he gave. I just know that he did it. Listen to me, parents and grandparents. We've got to teach our kids more. It's not just the discipline of giving, but it's why we give. Because God is the owner of everything. And if we have anything, it's a gift. To him. It's a gift from him for us to use for his kingdom and his glory. And so this morning, God is the owner of everything. Do you give in such a way that others may know that you really believe that? And I realize some of you, my gracious, you ought to be the ones up here teaching this because you've been so faithful. You have lived this out for many, many, many years. And I want to say thank you. Thank you for giving. Listen, we meet in a facility like this. We do the ministries and things we're able to do because many of you give in a sacrificial way that demonstrates God's the owner of everything. But maybe this morning, go, man, I haven't been there. I haven't been as faithful as I once was, or I've never been there. I want to challenge you. Pray, ask God to help you. May live a life of biblical stewardship, and don't forget, very first place, beginning point, is have you first given your heart and life to Jesus and surrendered everything to Him. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can call out on Him today, and the Bible says, God will save you. Let's bow our heads. God in heaven, I pray right now, if there be anybody here that does not yet know Christ, God, would you save them? God, I pray you give them grace to call out on you. seek forgiveness, give their life to you. And if that's you this morning, you can simply pray right where you're at and ask God to help you, ask God to save you. You pray something like this. Say, "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. Jesus, come to my heart, wash away my sin. Be the boss of my life. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for saving me. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do, and I'll be what you want me to be." I pray this in Jesus' name with head bowed, eyes closed, and nobody looking around. If you prayed that this morning and you meant it with all your heart and you're not ashamed, would you just slip your hand up in the air? Say, "Brother Chris, I pray and ask God to save me this morning." Amen. Anybody else? Say, "Brother Chris, I pray and ask God to save me this morning." God, I pray and I ask in these next few moments as we seek to respond to your word, we'd be obedient to you. We would not flee this moment. We would take it seriously to respond to what you've spoken to us. You can remain in the attitude of prayer. If you want to come to the front here and pray, you're welcome to do that. Maybe you want to kneel right where you're at or just pray right where you're at. Don't rush away from this moment, having God's word maybe challenge you this morning in some ways. Consider that. Pray over that. Ask God to help you. Lord, you are gracious and kind and merciful. And I pray, God, this morning that we'd be obedient to your word, be obedient to the challenge from your word. God, I pray that we'd give graciously, we would give mercifully, we'd give as if you own it all, because, God, you do own it all. Lord, I pray we would worship you this morning. Through singing, through our giving, you be glorified, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stand as we sing, "How Deep the Father's Love."
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns His face away, as wounds which mar the chosen ones bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon His shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held Him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no wisdom. but I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my have paid my ransom.
Well, amen. We are just at the moment where we are getting ready to conclude. Some of our men are going to move toward the exit so they're able to be there with the offering plate so you can give as you feel led to give this morning. Let me just remind you quickly, you can go online and give. Now, because of COVID and social distancing, we're not passing the plate. That's why they're there at the back door, not to try to make anybody feel guilty for not giving as you leave this morning. Please don't feel that way. But we do have online option. You can go online, you can give. You can set that up. You can give an e-check option, and you can even set it up as recurring giving, meaning if you want the same amount to come out each week or every 2 weeks or once a month, however it may be, however you get paid or however you want to give, you have that option. The e-check giving is the most affordable option. There is an option for you to be able to cover that fee. I think it's 30 cents per transaction. So it's pretty easy to set up if you want to give that way. Now you're still going to be able, as far as best we know and plan to, you're going to be able to give in person with an envelope or whatever the case may be, however you choose to do that. We're not doing away with that. I don't want there to be any misunderstanding. We just know a lot of people do things digitally or online, and so you're capable of going online, sbcr.org/give. And set that up, use that however it most is helpful to you, okay? All right, well, let me pray, and we will be dismissed. Lord, You're gracious and kind. Thank You for today. Thank You for Your love and affection toward us. And I pray, God, that we would give in a way that honors You. Thank You for entrusting so much to us. Protect us, keep us safe as we travel home. Lord, we love and praise You. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.